Actually, I don't have a lot. When I stand up at this morning, I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I would appreciate your prayers that the Lord would help me to present them this morning. In our prayer service this morning, Brother Case's opening remarks, I could have said amen to his remarks and sat down this morning, because his thoughts were the same as mine this morning, part of his comments. And he talked about coming out of Babylon. In fact, he used a scripture that I may use this morning, the one in Revelation where his people are to come out of Babylon, come out of the world, to come out of the influences and the things that would draw us away into those forbidden paths. I'd like to begin this morning with a scripture in the second book of Nephi, in the first chapter. It's found on page 80 in your Book of Mormon. It's the 38th and 39th verses. And it's Lehi's admonition to his two eldest sons. And he says, "Awake, my sons, and put on the armor of righteousness. Shake off the chains with which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity, and arise from the dust." There was four things in these two verses that he mentioned: to awake, to put on, to shake off, and to arise. I'd like to briefly cover those four, not in the same order that Lehi presented them, but I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about those four things. To awake, he admonished his sons to awake, to be fully aware, to be aware of the condition that they were in, to be aware of the danger that they were in, to awaken from that sleep that was upon them. We need to, brothers and sisters, to be awake, to awaken. If we're sleeping, we need to awaken, brothers and sisters. We need to be fully aware of the time that we're living in. Our brother mentioned that this morning. The time that we're living in, we need to be awake. We need to be aware. We need to fully believe this gospel that has been given to us, to fully believe the promises that are contained within the pages of these sacred words. In Mosiah, in the second chapter, beginning at verse 13, it's found on page 220, part of King Benjamin's speech. Verse 13, he says, "Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe these things, see that you do them." And that's one of the themes of the gospel. If we believe the words that Jesus Christ told us, if we believe the promises that are contained within the scriptures, if we believe what is required of us to gain eternal life, then He says, "See that you do them. See that you do them." I know sometimes we tend perhaps to be lazy Christians. When it's convenient for us, we do those things that the Lord has asked us. But at times in our lives, it may be a little more difficult. It may be things that we don't want to do, things that are outside our comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone. We all have things that we're comfortable doing, all have things that we're situations and surroundings that we're comfortable in. But sometimes we have to step outside that comfort zone that we've created and do those things that God requires. We need to awake and be aware of the dangers that are at every turn. You know, sometimes I think we feel that Satan, we realize who he is, and we realize his power, and we realize that he uses means and ways to deceive us. But he's not going to stand before us with a big sign. He's not going to stand before us and tell us to do this. You're going to lose your soul if you do this, but I want you to do this. He's not going to do that. He's going to be deceptive. He's going to be subtle. He's going to use ways and means to destroy us, to bind us with those cords that cannot be broken. I remember a brother in Phoenix one time, he used a demonstration, got one of the young men to come up, and he had some thread. And he started binding this young man's hand. You know, at first he could break them really easy, but as he kept winding and winding and winding and got enough thread, he couldn't break it. And that's how Satan works in our lives. He one cord at a time, one twist at a time, until we can't move our hands, we can't move our legs, and he's got us in his power. He takes and he deceives our hearts and our minds. We have to be awake to the dangers that are at every turn. We need to be awake and aware of the time that we live in, of the work that needs to be done. We need to be awake and remember the covenant that we made at our baptism. Those of us who have taken upon us the name of Christ, who have entered in to the waters of baptism, you know, we didn't stand. Most of us didn't stand at the water's edge or the edge of the baptismal fount and declare the covenant that we made. But when we entered into that water, we made a promise. We made a promise to our Savior. We made a covenant with Him, and He made a covenant with us. And the only way that covenant can be altered or changed or broken is through us. Mosiah chapter 9. Page 259, the ninth chapter. I'm going to begin at the 39th verse. Here's Alma at the waters of Mormon. He's going to baptize some people. And he addresses them and he says, "And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light." That's one of the things that we've been called to do, brothers and sisters, is to bear one another's burdens. We see somebody in need, we're to bear their burden. We're to comfort them, we're to uplift them, we're to pray for them. Help them temporarily if that's what it needs. We're to bear their burdens. Well, we can't take them from them, but perhaps we can help make them lighter. Make it an easier road for our brothers and sisters to walk. Yea, are willing to mourn with all those that mourn? Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places. Difficult. Perhaps it's difficult. It's easy when we're here in this congregation with people that believe the same. It's easy to stand and bear witness of God. But we go out into the world. We go to work. We go to school. Those in the missionary field, sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to stand as a witness of all at all times. But that's the covenant that we made. That's the promise that we made when we entered the waters of baptism, that we were going to do that. That we were going to stand as a witness of God. We in the Church of Christ are unique. We're unique in the world because we have the truth. We have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have all that is necessary to gain salvation. We have all that's necessary to face life's problems. And Satan knows that. Satan knows who we are. He knows every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. And the forces and the powers of Satan are assailed against the church of Christ, against the members of the body of Christ. You know, and I'm not going to turn to it, but the Lord said that Satan desires to sift us as wheat. If I understand the Greek words and the meaning that was there, Satan demands to put us on trial. He's putting us on trial to seek out our weakness, to see where he can tempt us. And he's doing that with each and every one of us. He's looking for the individual weakness that he can use to destroy us. He doesn't just want to hurt us. He doesn't want to make us uncomfortable. He wants to destroy our soul. He wants to destroy the work of the gospel. He wants to destroy the church of Christ, which he can't do. He cannot do it. There may be some casualties along the way. We may lose some within the ranks of the church of Christ, but the body of Christ will never fail. This church will never fail. So we made that promise. We made that covenant that we would stand as witnesses even until death. Not for a week, not for a year, not for 100 years, until we die. Until we die. That ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. That's God's promise to us. That if we fulfill our covenant, that he will fulfill his. We believe that. We trust Christ to fulfill his words. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized? In the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that you have entered into a covenant. There's our witness. We witness to God that we've entered into this covenant. We witness to our brothers and sisters who stood there and observed this occasion. It's a witness. We witness that we would do this. That you will serve him and keep his commandments. And the promise is that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon us. The question is, have we always remembered our covenant? Has our heart always been true to the gospel? Or have we failed? Our brother this morning confessed that he has weaknesses. And there's not one of us that, if we're honest and sincere and truthful, not one of us that could stand and say that we don't have weaknesses, that we don't have those things that are offensive to our Heavenly Father. But we need to be aware of them. We need to be aware of those weaknesses that we have, and we need to go to God and to awake. Awake from those chains that bind us down, to repent and to come to him with a full purpose of heart. Do we, by our actions, by our attitude towards the gospel of Christ, sometimes shut out the word of God? That it doesn't have full sway within our hearts and our minds? God works. God works in peculiar ways. But God works his work. And God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. Are we spiritual or carnal in our minds? Perhaps that's a question. And it's a question that I ask, knowing that we're not evil people. I'm speaking to God's people. The people who have made that covenant, who are dedicated to the gospel. But do we allow Satan to enter in from time to time and slowly and subtly destroy our peace? By a book we may read, a TV program that we may happen to watch. All these things are there forever. They're there forever, and we may 6 months from now. You know, have you ever been driving along in your car or walking down the street and think of something dumb from 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago? It just pops in there. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we take in is filed away in this big file cabinet in our minds. Causes us, perhaps, to stray in our thinking, to stray in our desire to walk opposite of the Lord. In Luke, when the Lord was admonishing his disciples, and they'd ask him the question, you know, what's the signs of the times and what's going to happen? And in there, he made this statement. He said, pray always. Pray and watch. We need to pray against the powers of Satan. We're commanded in Alma to pray against the enemy of our soul. To be awake. To be awake. You know, and the Lord said to watch, to be on guard, that we may be worthy to escape the things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. Sometimes when we awake out of a deep sleep, we're kind of groggy and not quite aware of what's going on. It takes us a few minutes sometimes to collect our thoughts, to get the cobwebs out. But if we're in that spiritual sleep, if we're sleeping spiritually and just waking up, sometimes we're foggy and that's the time that Satan can get us. Satan can get us. We need to be aware. We need to be awake, spiritually awake. Are we aware of the dangers around us? Of the pitfalls that can be presented by our adversary? The second thing that Lehi admonished his two oldest sons was to arise. To arise. Arise and allow God's word to have the impact in our lives that it should have. To arise from our sleep. To awaken. Not be in that half stupor that we're in sometimes when we're out of a dead sleep. But to arise. Arise. We've all been to reunions, you know. We felt the power of God. We felt that burning spirit within our hearts. Have felt His presence, His power, His admonition, His counsel. We felt it here at the Missouri reunion. We felt it in Phoenix, in Colorado, in New York. Wherever they have reunions, we felt that power of God. And then, in a few days, it kind of ebbs, doesn't it? We kind of fall asleep a little bit. We lose that edge. We lose that edge. And I think we've all also felt the quiet power. The quiet power of God in our lives, in our everyday lives, in directing our hearts, and directing our thinking, and directing our minds. We, as the children of God, need to have our hearts and our minds in tune that we can feel in our daily lives that quiet power of God. You know, at reunions and we feel that surge of the Spirit, that's God's witness to us. That's His demonstration of His power. It's His witness. But we don't always feel that in our daily lives. It's the quiet. The quiet, the voice that speaks into our mind, the urging of the Spirit that tells us, don't do that. Or you need to go here. Or you need to visit somebody. Or you need to call someone. Or there's danger. There's danger if we do that. That's the power of God in our daily lives. And we need to arise. and be spiritually aware, that we can be in tune to God's Spirit. One of our brothers in Phoenix, several months ago, made a statement, and it was such a true statement, such a true statement. He made the statement, and we were praying about something. Several brothers were praying about something, and he said, my prayer, it really wasn't for an answer. His prayer was that his heart would be right before God, that when he was ready to speak, that he would be able to receive it, that God could touch him. And a lot of times we pray for direction, we pray for answers. And while we're doing that, I'm not saying don't do it, we have to do that. But while we're doing that, we need to pray for our hearts, that our hearts would be right before God, that he can speak to us, that he can reveal his will. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be afraid to get on our knees and ask God to look deep. To look deep within our hearts and within our minds, to find those things that may be amiss, that may be offensive unto him, and ask him to purify us and cleanse us. Ask him to give us the strength to overcome, that our hearts would be right, truly right before him. Not cluttered with the things of the world, not cluttered with the carnal desires and the carnal nature that we're born with, that when we enter the waters of baptism, we crucified that old man and came up a new creature. Allowing God to be able to speak, to be able to direct us, to learn how he works, to learn how he speaks, to learn the process. Because sometimes there is a process to getting an answer. Process. Part of that process is to get rid of self. To get rid of that self in our lives. Oh, we all have desires. We all have emotions. We all have fears. We all have things that we want. The important thing is that we're willing to put it all aside. That we're willing to put that self, our own desires, our own ambitions, what we want, put them aside and allow God to put his desire in us. Simple rule. That no matter what we say, no matter what we do, or no matter what we think, before we do it, before we say it, and before we think it, is it good for the body of Christ? Is what I'm going to do good for the body of Christ? Is what I'm going to say good for the body of Christ? Is the thoughts that I have in my mind, are they good for the body of Christ? If they're not, then perhaps we shouldn't say it. Perhaps we shouldn't think it. Perhaps we shouldn't do it. Do we do the things in our life that allow God to work with us? Do we do the things in our life that are right simply because they're right? Not because it's the easy thing, not because it's what we want to do, but because it's the right thing. God requires us to do difficult things from time to time. Things we don't want to do, places we don't want to go. Are we willing to allow God to do that? Are we willing to do what's right because it's right? My wife can testify to the fact that I do not like painting. I hate to paint. I get cranky. At least she says I do. I don't think I do, but she says I get cranky when I paint. And she's back there nodding her head. I hate it. I'd rather go to the dentist. I honestly would rather go to the dentist and get a root canal than paint my house. But here I am in the midst of painting my house. I don't want to do it. I have to force myself to get out there. I don't like heights. I'll be honest. I'd confess I do not like heights. So anything that's more than two rungs off the ground, I I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I was on the third rung of the ladder a couple days ago and my hands were sweaty. I hate heights. It's a phobia. So I got the peak of the house that's not done yet. I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of somebody when I get back to Phoenix to help me finish the house. But you know, that house is not going to get painted. That house is not going to get painted if I sit in my living room or lay in my bed and hope it gets done. It's a difficult thing. It's something I don't want to do, but it has to be done. Sometimes it's the same in our spiritual life. We don't want to do it. We break out in cold sweat. We get cold feet. It's difficult. We don't want to climb that ladder. But we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to do the difficult things in life to grow. If I don't paint my house, eventually it's going to rot and decay, and I'm not going to have a house. We have to take care of the things that God allows us to have. We have to take care of our spiritual lives. We have to do the hard things in life sometimes. Next thing that Lehi told his sons, shake off. We have to shake off the things that encumber our spiritual growth. Those things that would hinder our growth. Those things that would detract us from our purpose. And our purpose in life is to serve God. That's our only purpose. That's what the scriptures tell us. The whole duty of man is to serve God. We have to rid ourselves of all that would encumber that service. Romans chapter 12. First two verses of the 12th chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God is acceptable to Him. And it's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. Our sacrifice is well-pleasing to God. It's fully agreeable to God. And it's not extreme. It's not illogical. It's not irrational. It's reasonable. Reasonable to give our lives as a living sacrifice. Perhaps that means giving up something that we really like. Giving up a desire, giving up worldly pleasures, giving up temporal things may be our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Do not be the same as, do not agree with this world. Our lives are to be different than the world. But be transformed. Transformed to make a thorough and dramatic change. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing. We're going to adjust our moral and spiritual thinking, our vision, our walk in life to conform to the mind of God. We're going to renew our mind. We're going to cast out all those things that hinder. And we're going to, as much as humanly possible, be in accord with the mind of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That complete will of God. We're going to prove it in our lives. That complete and perfect will of God. But you know, God's perfect will cannot be accomplished unless we're willing to yield. Unless we're willing to give our lives. Unless we're willing to put aside the carnal things of life and to come out. As our brother admonished us this morning, to come out of Babylon. Be not partakers of her sins, of her plagues. You know, the things, there's going to be a lot of things come upon this world. And he said, we're to come out of there, so we're not going to receive those things. That's why he said to watch and pray always that we can escape the things that are coming. So we won't receive of the plagues that are coming upon the world. And we're not to partake of our sins. Oh, how easy it is to partake of the sins of the world. You know, Paul, in the first chapter of Romans, he long dissertation about the things that, worldly things. And he said, not only those that do them, but those that have pleasure in those that do them are guilty. So if we have pleasure in the things of the world, we may not do them, but if we have pleasure in them somehow, some way, we're guilty. We're guilty as if we had done it. To shake off our sins. Shake off those things in our life that would keep us from entering the kingdom of heaven. Because we cannot enter God's kingdom chained by unrighteousness and sin. Can't do it. God is calling to His people. God is calling to us in our personal lives. He's calling to us across the pulpit. He's calling to us in testimonies. He's calling to us by the power of His Spirit. He's in the process of cleansing and purifying us. He's going to present to Himself one that is coming, a church that's without spot, without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish. We are individuals in that body of Christ. And for Him to present this glorious church, that means that each of us, as individuals, must do everything that we can to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain in our life. Allow God's Spirit to work within us to cleanse us and to purify us. Shake off the chains and the shackles of this world. Shake off the things that would hinder our spiritual growth. Shake off the sleep that is upon us from time to time. Actively. And you know, we pray that God will help us overcome. We pray against the powers of Satan. But do we actively resist him? Do we actively do those things in our lives that would help us to overcome? Do we pray for the desire to resist? Do we pray for the will to walk away? Do we pray for the power of God's Spirit to be upon us? You know, it wouldn't be a temptation if it didn't entice us. Yeah. And Satan knows that. He uses different things with different individuals because he knows that's our weakness. So it wouldn't be a temptation if it didn't entice us and call to us. So it is something that we have to resist. It's something that we want to do, perhaps, or perhaps we don't want to do it, but through weakness or whatever, we're sometimes led. So it's going to be easy? Uh-uh. Not going to be easy. Now we're getting back to doing what's right because it's right. Not because it's easy. Not because it's, you know, okay, I want to give up this sin in my life and instantly it's gone. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. It takes time. God will help us. God will be there every step of the way, but He expects certain things from us. Somebody that has a problem with drinking is not going to overcome that temptation by continuously going to the bar that they used to. Even though they just drink Coke, the temptation, they're not going to overcome it. We have to resist. We don't go there anymore. We take a different route to work so we don't have to drive by that place. We do the things that are necessary to help us overcome whatever the weakness is. We have to shake off those shackles that have bound us and seek God. You know, when we go to God, and it's easy. And I've fallen into this trap myself. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Get up and go about our business. Forgive me for what? You know, He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows what's within us. But you know, He wants us to confess. He wants us to get down on our knees and to confess our sin. Sometimes it's hard because we don't want to admit it ourselves. We don't want to admit we have that weakness. We don't want to admit to ourselves what we have. But I think it's a requirement of God in our private prayers to say, God, forgive me for, and name it. I did this. I thought this. I did it. God, help me. Forgive me and give me the strength to overcome. It's part of the process. Part of the process. There's a saying that I heard one time, and it's not good English. I'll be honest, the saying is not good English, but it's true. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. Isn't that true? If we keep doing the same things that we've always done, nothing's going to change. We're going to receive. If we want something different, we need to change. Not do the things we've always done, we need to change. Sometimes life throws us curveballs. Yeah, if you're a baseball player and you know that pitcher is going to throw a fastball every time, you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready for that pitch and you're going to do pretty good. Do you know every once in a while he's going to throw a curveball? You're going to be looking for that fastball and he's going to throw a curveball and you're going to take a big swing and you're going to miss. Sometimes life does that to us. Sometimes life throws us curveballs. We're not expecting it. It hits his broadside. We need to turn to God. Need to turn to God for strength. You know, that baseball, that batter may have landed on his duff. Got all dusty, you know. Nothing wrong with swinging and missing and falling down. But if you don't get up, if you don't dust yourself off and you don't get back in that batter's box, then Satan's won his battle. We grow through trial. We grow through tribulation. We grow through the afflictions of life. Well, the afflictions may not, they seem grievous at the time. But God uses them. And when you have an affliction, when you have a trial, when something comes upon you, you know, one of the first things that we need to do is, God, what do you want me to learn from this trial? What do you want me to learn from this trouble that I'm in? What do you want me to change? Important lesson in life. Important. The last thing that Lehi told his sons was to put on. To put on. Put on what? What do we need to put? We need to put on the new man. To put on that new man. as we were buried in the likeness of Christ, we came up a new creature. You know, all that, I was almost 26 years old when I entered the waters of baptism. All the horrible things that I may have done in my life for 25 and years and some months was gone. I buried that old man, that old creature, and I came up a new creature. And my responsibility from that moment was to put on righteousness. To put on those righteous robes that the Lord has handed us. To do the things that Christ gave by example. Oh, are we going to fail? Absolutely. We will. We're human. And we can't use that as an excuse. I hear that so many times. Oh, I'm only human. That's not going to cut it. We sin because we are human. That's the reason we sin, but that's not the excuse for it. We're going to be held accountable for that. Page 92, the second book of Nephi. Chapter 3. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is Nephi. Nephi, he'd seen angels. He'd been lifted up in the spirit. The Lord had given him visions and dreams and done all these marvelous things that led him from destruction to a new land. But yet in the 31st verse, Nephi said, "O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities." He was in the depths of despair. Sometimes, aren't we? And we feel like we failed. We feel that God has cast us off. Only if we yield to that failure, to that despair. Now I'm going to skip down to the 56th verse. It says, "O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness?" That's what we need to put on, that robe of righteousness, to be encircled by God's Spirit. To have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives that we can be strong. "O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before thee, before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss." There's the key to our prayer, that we ask not amiss. James said that we ask and receive not because we want to consume it upon our lusts. It's things we want, give me, and the desires of our hearts, whatever it may be. Ask not amiss. Ask God's will to be done. Ask that He prepare us. Ask that He cleanse us and purify us. Make us that righteous people. "Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God." Robes of righteousness. Mosiah, the 5th chapter. Just one verse. Page 231, verse 52. "But if you will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart and put your trust in Him," we're going to trust God. We're going to trust Him that He will fulfill His covenant. His covenant is that if I yield to Him, if I enter the waters of baptism, if I put on the robes of righteousness and I endure to the end, I trust that He will preserve me. I trust that I will have eternal life. I trust that He will see me through the afflictions of life. I need not fear. I need not fear. Put your trust in Him and serve Him with all diligence of mind. You know, and that those three words are kind of important. All diligence of mind. You know, we go through the motions sometimes, you know. We don't do the things that are wrong. But what about our minds? The diligence of the mind, is our mind drawn out to God? Are we continually praying? Do we allow the thoughts and the cares and the influences of the world to enter in and deliver you out of bondage? In this case, they're going to deliver him out of a physical bondage, but here we are, perhaps in a spiritual bondage. Chained down with unrighteousness. Chained down with the cares of this life and the sins of this life. He said He'll deliver us out of that bondage. We do not have to be bound, brothers and sisters, by sin. We don't have to be. We can be free. Seventeenth chapter of Alma. Page 434. Here's Alma speaking to his son Helaman. The third verse, "And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth. Therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials." We're going to have trials. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have the afflictions of life. Can't get away from it. That's what we're in. It's called life. And we're going to have all these trials, but God will support us. And their troubles, and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. That's the promise. That's the promise of God, that we will be lifted up. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's our cry. That's our prayer, that God will create in us a clean heart. That was David's cry. He knew his sins. He knew his iniquities. He knew his shortcomings and his weaknesses. But he cried unto God for forgiveness. He cried unto God to be righteous. He acknowledged that God was able to do it. "Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me." That right spirit is a spirit that serves God. Doesn't serve self. Doesn't serve our own desires, our own emotions. Doesn't serve this world, but serves God. That's the right spirit. May our prayer be that God will preserve us, that God will guide us, that God will direct us. Awake, my sons. Put on the armor of righteousness. Shake off the chains with which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity and arise. Arise. Put on the robe of righteousness. I thank you for your time this morning.